Begin the current daf, Maseches Menachos daf Nun Zayin. Begin on the fourth line down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara explains the halacha that was introduced in the previous daf relating to the topic of this parak. And that is, Rabbi Ami had said a halacha regarding the prohibition that we said regarding the majority of Menachos, as the title of our parak says, Kala Menachos Bayis Matzah. All flour offerings come unleavened, besides two exceptions. And hence, if someone makes it leavened, one violates a negative prohibition. Now, that Rabbi Ami had said, if someone even just puts it on the dough, the yeast, the leavening agent, and it makes it leaven, he's going to be chayiv. And the wording he said was kemaisa Shabbos. So the Gemara explains, what does he mean kemaisa Shabbos? It means like roasting on Shabbos, which even just putting the meat on the coals, one's not involved in the cooking process, it happens by itself, but one caused it, one's going to be liable, which the Gemara explained, it's not exactly, but it's the same idea. In contrast to tzli, where one has to flip it over so that it gets roasted on both sides, when it's kamaichal ben drusai, when it's only a third cooked. However, in the case of the yeast, of the leavening agent, even if it's just one side, a kezayis, one's going to violate that halacha, but we see that even if it's just putting it on and it happens by itself, one's going to be liable. Now, regarding that halacha that was introduced, Gufa, the Gemara goes back to it, and says, Amar Rabbi Bachon Rabbi Yechanan, we had quoted that he said, on top of the summit, Hinich basal gabi gecholm. Someone's put meats on hot coals. So we said, if he flips it over, he's going to be liable. But if he doesn't flip it over, he's going to be exempt. So the Gemara explains, what's this case talking about? If it's talking about that had he not flipped it over, it wouldn't get cooked. It's only getting cooked because he flips it over. Well, the Mshita, obviously, if you don't flip it over, you're going to be exempt because it's not getting roasted and therefore you're not doing anything by having it on one side. Ella rather, you're going to say, no, that even if he had not flipped it over, it would have gotten cooked. So then, amai le mechayib. So then why is he not liable if he doesn't flip it over? Says the Gemara, le tzricha, no. It's necessary in the case to tell you, had he not flipped it over, have a bashal mitzad echad, it would only get cooked on one side, kamaychal ben drusai. Like the way ben drusai, who was a bandit, would eat, which was very rushed, and he couldn't make this well cooked steak, he would make it only a third cooked. Now, that's what the halacha is telling us. The chima hapech bay, when he's going to flip it over, then bashal mishneit stodin kamecha ben drusai. Then it's going to be cooked on both sides, a third cooked. Well, kamash malon, and that's what's teaching us this, that we said that if you don't flip it over, you're going to be exempt, and that is even though it's going to be cooked on one side, kamecha ben drusai, a third cooked. But that's what it's teaching us, the chol mitzad echad, kamecha ben drusai, if it's only cooked on one side, as a rare type of cooking, like only a third cooked, leklumu, that's not halachically significant to violate this abishal, and that's why Rabbi Yechim is saying the halacha that one has to flip it over, if it's only a third cooked, that it has to be that third cooked on both sides to be chayv abishal on Shabbos. Now, Amar Rava, he qualifies and he says, now, v'imnitzla by kegregris mitzad echad b'mokam echad, but let's say it was fully roasted on one side, in one place, as long as it's the size of gregris, like the size of a dried fig, then chayiv, then even if he doesn't flip it over, he's going to be liable, because the whole halacha that we said before that you have to flip it over is only if it's a third cooked. That's not enough on one side to be liable. It has to be at least on two sides. But if it's fully cooked, fully roasted, then even on one side, as long as it's the size of a gregris, in one spot in the piece of meat, one's going to be chayiv for the issa bishul on Shabbos. Now, on this halacha of Rava, Amali Ravin Ravashi, he asked Ravashi, it sounds like from Rava's halacha, b'mokam echadin. He said if it's going to be cooked, even on one side, the size of a dried fig, in one place, then he's going to be liable. But b'shnayim agim mekayim eslay. But if let's say, if one would combine two or three places on the piece of meat to combine to the size of a dried fig, that wouldn't qualify. Has to be contiguous, has to be in one place to be chayef for bishul. On that, asked Ravina, v'tznam, but we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos that says, in a different malach of Shabbos, it says, HaKadeach Koshu. Someone makes even a small little hole in the wall on Shabbos. Chayiv is liable. Hechadami. What's the case talking about? Elim Mebakam Mechad, says Ravina, if you think it's in one place, Koshu Lamai Chazi. What is a small little hole worth for? How could that be a constructive act, which is what all the Lamatez malachas are about? Elah, Bishnaim Oyech Shleishim Mekayim, must be. Know that he made this small hole in two or three places. So what's that? because the chazi litziruv, because they're valuable in combination, just like carpenters do. When they want to make a hole, they make three little holes near each other, and then they combine them together into one. So you see that even though something on its own is not valuable, but they do combine to create the bigger element to be chayv on it. So therefore, when you're making even the small hole, which is not significant, but since it could be combined, it's going to be chayim. So therefore, same thing in the meat, even if you're going to be roasting less than the size of a dried fig, a little spot over here, a little spot over here, a little spot over there, you should still say that you're going to be chayiv. Why? Because chazu letziv, you could combine them, and the combination is going to be the size of a dried fig. Why does Rabbi say it has to be only one spot? And that says, the Gemara says, Rav Ashi, lo, you know, lo'il b'makam echad. The halacha of saying hakadech kolshu is being chayiv is actually in one spot. One spot, but with such a small hole. How could it be without being mitzar if it combining with other small holes? It's because the chazu lebova daklida. It's valuable in the tip of a key, which is pointy, that you could stick it into a box and open and close. That small hole is valuable for that key and therefore has validity in being chayiv in the halacha of making a hole on Shabbos. In contrast, over here, we're roasting, at the minimum has to be the size of a dried fig. That's only if you make it in one spot. In other words, we don't find anywhere the halach of chaz letzirv. That's not because you're combining the small hole with other small holes. It's that one small hole that's liable because it has utility. That's one version of Rava. Vekadami, they say a different version. The Rama Rava that actually says, no, afil b'shnayim v'gimel kaimus. This liability of even one side of the piece of meat without flipping it over, that one's going to be chayiv if it's fully roasted as long as it's the size of a dried fig, is even if that size is not in one spot. Even in two, three different spots, you could combine them together if it has the sum total, the size of a gregory, one's going to be chayiv for bishul on Shabbos. Now, according to this version, Amalei Ravin Ravashi, he says, Afanana Matinina. Actually, let's support his opinion, according to this version, in the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos. It says, Hakadech kol shu chayiv. If someone drills him in a small little hole, he's going to be liable. Hey, Chodami, what's it talking about? Ilim b'makam echad. If it means just a one spot, kol shu l'may chazi. What's a small little hole worth for? That's not considered a constructive purpose. Ela b'shnayim b'shleisha b'kaimis. Must be, if you make it in two, three spots, that each spot you're going to be chayiv on. Why the chaz letziv? Because it's valid in combination. So you're also, like Rav is saying, because you could combine the two, three spots that are roasted together. In this version says, lo, no, it's not approved. Lo yilam b'makam echad. I could tell you that the liability of kedech was actually in one spot, and not because it's combining. The chaz above a deklida, because it's valuable in utility of having the tip of the key, and that's why it's chayiv, but we don't find any source to support in this version of Rava that one can combine for the minimum shear of two or three different places. Now, continuing with what the Gemara was discussing in the previous daf regarding the prohibition of a mincha of making a chametz stick, so Tarnabon Linda Brisa. Ilu nemar asha tekrivu l'Hashem loisiyasa chametz. Had the pasuk said only that which is sacrificed for Hashem, one should not make it leavened. So he said, I would have said, Ainli b'lo yisiyasa chametz. So I would only think that what's the violation of making leavened regarding the mincha? Elo chametz bovad. Only that fistful which is taken and burnt on the mizbeach is telling you that you cannot take the chametz itself and make it chametz stick. Because that's what the pasuk says, that which goes to Hashem. What goes to Hashem? What's burnt on the mizbeach? Only that fistful. Mincha minayin, how do I know that you cannot even take the entirety of the mincha together before you take off the kemitza and make that also leavened? Meaning, even if it's not just the kaimitz, tamalei mincha, that's what says the word mincha, to say that the entirety of the mincha has that problem. Now, shar menach is minayin, because this pasuk that we're learning at the halacha of the isra making chametz in the mincha is actually by a specific mincha, that of the minchas marcheshes, the deep pan mincha. How do we know it applies to all other flour offerings too? It says all the inclusionary term to say all types of menachas. Now, the pasuk says, Hashem tekriv l'Hashem, that which you bring near to Hashem. What that tells us is that this prohibition is only k'sheir v'lei p'sula. It's only by a valid mincha that there is a prohibition, but not by an invalid one. For example, let's say it went out of the Azara or became tamei, where it's not valid anymore. That then the halacha, the isra, does not apply. Mekan number, it's from here where they said, Hamachmetz, it's like k'sheir chayiv. If someone makes the valid mincha leavened, then that's where there's going to be liability. But if it's invalid, it's going to be exempt. Now, relating to this, and going back to the previous Gemara's discussion in the previous daf, regarding which we said the mechametz acha mechametz is chayiv, so the Gemara says, Boyera Papa. Papa had the following question. Let's say chintz of a yatzis. Let's say someone made the mincha leavened, and then it went out of the azar. V'chaz v'chintz, then a person went, And he concluded, meaning he did a later process in the conclusion of this leavened dough of the mincha, which is, let's say, he baked it. Mao, what's the halacha? Is he going to be liable because, like we said in the previous staff of mechametz acha mechametz, which we said, even if someone, let's say, did the kneading or did the shaping, if someone does another procedure in this chametz diga mincha, he's going to be liable? Would you say this thing would apply here or not? So the Gemara explains, what's the question? Kiven the yatz is because ultimately the mincha already went out of the azar. So if slabi yatz, it's already invalidated by leaving. Now, b'chihad mechametz law, when now the person subsequently is going to make it chametz in another procedure, loy mechayev lo mishum mechametz mechametz, he's not going to be liable for leavening after it was already leavened, because like we just said in the previous Gemara's discussion, the prohibition of leavening is only by a kosher mincha, not by a posel one. Or maybe kiven the chimtza, once it was already made chametz stick. So psul yaitzi lo mahani bay, that actually the invalidation of leaving the azara cannot invalidate this mincha, because it doesn't have a bona fide sanctity to say, oh, something wrong happened by leaving. What's the problem? Leaving? That wasn't a psul, that wasn't an avera. There wasn't something wrong. It's not something it's not taking away any sanctity, because it's already invalidated because it became chametz. So actually, when a later person subsequently does another procedure in, let's say, baking the mincha that's chametz, you actually would be liable, because it's not like what we call mincha psula. What if mincha psula? Why? Because it was taken out? What do you mean taken out? It's already pasul because it was chametz stick. So how do you make... But we said in the previous daf, the machmachmachmachmach is going to be chayim. So therefore, maybe once it became a chametz stick, that's it. There's no other invalidations. And actually, you can be chayim, like we said in the previous daf, of machametz, achamachametz. Like we said, the pasuk teaches us from the drasha that one is chayim for making a chametz stick, even if it's already a chametz stick. So it's more take a little sense. It's not clear what the halach would be in this situation. Another question, by Rav Murray. Says chimtza, let's say someone made the kaimitz, the fistful, which is the part of the mincha that's sacrificed on the mizbeach. He made it leavened, bereishis on mizbeach, on the top of the altar. Ma, what's the halacha? What's the question? Says the Gemara, asher takrivu am rachman. The Torah says, as we mentioned before, that which you should bring near to Hashem. That sounds like, as long as you're lacking hakrava, bringing near to the mizbeach, then you could violate the issur of making a chametzik. But once you already have hakrava, then not. Now, v'ha'akriva, here you already brought it near. It's already on the altar. Maybe there's no more liability for making a chametzik. Oidimah, maybe no, mechusa haktara, lacking the burning, the actual putting on the fire, k'mechusa ma'isidam. It's like you're still lacking an action of bringing it near. Because although it's on the altar, it's not on the fire of the altar, and therefore maybe one would still be liable for making a chametz. Take it, let it stand. It's not clear what the halacha would be. Now, the Gemara goes back and asks what we mentioned before. The Gemara asks, "V'hash the nafke le'mekala mincha." We said in the Brisa, we said that the halacha of being liable for making chametzik is even going to be if the kaimitz is still mixed in with the rest of the mincha, because we learned that out from kala mincha. It's not only from the kaimitz itself, which is brought to Hashem, but it's even the entirety of the mincha. So, ask the Gemara, then asher takrivu, then this word says that which you bring near to Hashem, which sounds like that the liability of chametz is only on the kaimitz, because that's the one thing that you bring to Hashem on the mizbech. Lamali, what do you need the pasuk to tell you that you chayv for kaimitz on the kmitza? Chayv for kaimitz on the kmitza. If you chayv on everything, not only the kmitza, you chayv even on the rest of the mincha from kol mincha. Why do you need a special limud on the kmitza? Says the Gemara, mebayi lelikatanya. We need this pasuk of asher tekrivu to teach the halacha which is taught in the following brisa. It says asher tekrivu, that which should be brought near. Seemingly superfluous terminology, what's it teaching? Because we said it's not coming to teach that which is brought la Hashem, because we said it's already included from kol mincha. Rather, it's l'rabbis minchas nesachim l'chimitz. It's including that a liability, if one makes a minchas nesachim, which are the menachas that are brought together with the libations of karbanas, which if one goes and makes it leavened, he's going to be liable. Now, the reason for this is because this pasuk that teaches that there's going to be a liability of making a mincha chametzik is said by other menachas, which it's shirayim, their leftovers are eaten. That's why we need a special ribuy of asher tekrivu to include even the minchas nesachim, which has no shirayim. All of it is burnt on the fires of the mizbech. As the Braisa teaches actually in Teres Kayanim. The Braisa in Teres Kayanim says, I would only know that there's an issa of loisiyasa chametz only by menachas that the leftovers are eaten. Menachas that don't have shirayim that are eaten, how do you know that even there is a liability of making chametzik? That's what it says, tamalem kala mincha, to include the minchas nesachim, which is this what the Gemara is learning out from asher tekrivu. Now, contrast, however, this opinion holds that lechem aponim, they're actually not going to be any lashes, because lechem aponim were only prepared in a dry type of a measuring, which I think Gemara is going to shortly explain, which were not sanctified, so it's not sanctified, so there we didn't have this prohibition of making a chametz stick. This is divrei Rabbi Yosei Galili. B'kiva, he says a different drasha, what we learn now from the Ribu Vasha Tekribu. The Rabbis lechem aponim lechimetz. He holds actually it's including that the lechem aponim, which are the 12 showbreads on the shulchan, that's a liability over there, making them chametz stick. In other words, the chiddush is that don't say that only by those which have a kemitza, which we said like that's the same idea that they have shirayim, because a kemitza is burnt on the mizbeach, that from those that are burnt on the mizbeach, that's we have the isra making chametz stick. But here by the lechem aponim, none of the breads are burnt on the mizbeach. So then maybe I would say that there's no isra making chametz stick. That's what Rabbi Kiva is teaching from Mishnah Tekriva, that there also there's an isra in making a chametz stick. And that's obviously because he holds that Midas Yavish is Niskacha. That the Isarin, which that sanctifies a lechem aponim, although it's not made in the vessel that are sanctified, the Midas Yavish, the dry ones, are also sanctified. However, he holds not like Rabbi Yosei Galili, but as we're going to shortly explain why, as the Gemara's next question is posed on Rabbi Yosei Galili that way, Michas Nesachim, actually, he holds that if one makes it chametzik, actually, you're not going to get lashes. So that's Machlekes Rabbi Yosei Galili and Rabbi Kiva, but that's what we're learning from Mishnah Tekriva, because we said Mishnah Tekriva doesn't have to teach regarding the chametz, because we know it already from the rest of the Mincha with Kala Mincha. Rather, it's either teaching, including either the Michas Nesachim, that's a liability for chametz, or the Lechem Apan. Now, the Gemara asks on Rabbi Yosei Galili, which is obviously where Rabbi Kiva is coming from, Michas Nesachim, the libation Menachis, the question is that something that there could be a violation that Rabbi Yosei is including from making it leavened? But how do you make the Michas Nesachim? You have flour together with May Perisim. It's with fruit juices, which the idea is, what's the other ingredient? It's with oil that's mixed in with it, because there's three lugan to every isar in the flour. In other words, we understand regarding the prohibition of making other menachas chametz stick, where there's not so much oil over there. So obviously, how do you mix it? Because you mix in water. So that's why there could be a prohibition of making chametz stick, because how does chametz happen? It's flour with water. But here, what's going to make it chametz stick? You know how you need it? You have oil and flour. Now, as the Gemara continues to Amud Beis, Umei Peris Ein Machmitzin, there's no way of fermentation of making pure chametz with fruit juices. Now, additionally, obviously the questioner, which is like the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, holds that you can't go ahead and mix in water and it being valid. So there's no water, so there's fruit juices, and therefore the questioner basically is, so how exactly is there prohibition of making chametz stick? It cannot become chametz stick. Now, additionally, Rashi points out that although we're including either shtei halechem or mechaz nasachem, obviously, we're including also Minchas Kaihanim and Minchas Kai Mashiach, that although there's no Shirayim and that it's totally burnt on the Mizbeach, that they're going to be included, that there's going to be a liability of making them Chametzik. The only reason why I picked these cases is because that's the Machlekes Rabbi Yosei Galili and Rabbi Kiva, but obviously it's telling us that it don't have to have Shirayim, just like we say about Minchas Nesachim, that there's no Shirayim and you're going to be including the liability, according to Rabbi Yosei Galili, for making a Chametzik. But one thing the Gemara's question is, what's the prohibition if you can't make a chametz stick? On that of Rish Lakish, he says, Oimahai Rishigli. Rishigli actually did say, not like Rabbi Kiva, not like the questioner, that Mechas Nesachim, Megav Lebayim, Vekshar, that actually one could go ahead and take even Mechas Nesachim and mix it, knead it with water, and it's still valid. And since you could mix water, so therefore it is possible to make the Mechas Nesachim chametz stick, and that's what the prohibition of the Torah is saying. Don't let it become leaven. And therefore it's not difficult how you could have the prohibition. So that was a question on Rabbi Yosei Galili. Now the Gemara asks on Rabbi Kiva, which obviously the point where Rabbi Yosei Galili is coming from. Lechem aponim, the 12 showbreads, midas yavishi. This is a type of a flour offering that's not put in the bisa. The bisa is where there's a klisharis that where the menachas were kneaded. Now the lechem aponim was not made that way. Rather, it was put into a nisarin, which is how they measure the necessary flour for the lechem aponim. Now, the isarin then was made and it was baked. The isarin itself is a dry measuring utensil. Now, the question on Rabbi Kiva is, how could he include that in the prohibition of making it chametz stick? That's what he learns from Mishnah Tekriva. But the Shemani led Rabbi Kiva da'ama, we heard Rabbi Kiva that he says, which is brought later on, Perek Beis Midas, and that's Tzadim and Aleph, that Midas Yavish, like Niskacha, the dry vessels in the Beis Midas were not sanctified. Now, since that means to say, that the lechem upon them are not going to be sanctified until you organize them on the shulchan. So how exactly are you going to be violating this and making a chametz stick? Once it's already on the shulchan, you can't make a chametz stick already. Now, the Gemara actually later on is going to ask, what do you mean? There's also the measuring utensils that are used for liquids, because additionally, they actually would put the lechem upon them in this bisa, which is the tools that are used for liquids, when they would need it. Then it has to get wet. So then they would need it in this bisa. So it was sanctified in the bisa. I think Gemara is going to address that later on. But that's what Gemara is asking, that how exactly could he say that there's a prohibition of making it chametz stick, but it never became sanctified to have the prohibition of making some sanctified flour offering chametz stick if it only becomes sanctified when you put it on the shulchan? So on that question, the Gemara says, Shalach Rav in Mishmeid Rabbi Yechon, and he says, Kachi Hatzal Shal Mishnah. The way we explained this Tanoik statement is correct. However, ve'epuch, you have to switch around the attributions because of the question that was just asked. And actually, when it says asher tekrivu l'rabbis lechem haponim l'chimetz, basically is the one who's including the isur chametz on lechem haponim. Rabbi Kiva im l'rabbis michas nasachem l'chimetz. He's the one that said that the prohibition is to include not making michas nasachem chametz, because you're right. Rabbi Kiva can't hold the prohibitions on the lechem haponim, because according to him, never became sanctified until you put on the shulchan, and then it's already done, and you can make a chametz stick. So obviously, that the Torah cannot be warning you regarding that. Rather, he's the one that says that the warning is regarding the mechas nesachim. And explains the Gemara of Azra B'Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan, who, as we just explained, he says that the prohibition about making the lechem upon the chametz stick is like Rabbi Yisrael Glili. So obviously, it's that Rabbi Yisrael Glili is the one who holds that midas yavish, that the dry measurements were sanctified, and therefore it is already sanctified before it's put on the shulchan, and therefore the prohibition is making a chametz stick beforehand. Is going litamei, like his reasoning that he says elsewhere, this idea. Tam Rabbi Yechon, he says, Rabbi Yisrael Glili, ve'echem mitamid Rabbi Shmuel, and one of the students, Rabbi Shmuel, Amr Dabe Echad, they say the same thing. Umanu, who's the student, Rabbi Shmuel? It's Rabbi Yeshia. The time, like we learned in Abraisa, the Pasuk of Midbar says, and it talks about when they set up the Mishkan, they were anointing all the different elements. It says, Vayimishachim v'yikadash aysim, that he anointed them, Moshe Beinu, and he sanctified them. And this is going on all the vessels that are related to the Mizbeach, which those are what's called vessels used for lachem, for wet things, which are sanctified. Now, B'yishayim, he says, Midas halach, these tools, these utensils that are used for liquids, which is the measurement of a hin and a half of a hin, and all those which are mentioned later on the Pezayin Mabez, Nimshach, they were anointed, both the inside of the vessel and the outside of the vessel. In contrast, Midas Yavish, the utensils used for dries, for salads, Nimshachu Mebefnim, they were only sanctified, they were only anointed from the inside, they Nimshachu Mebefnim, but they were not anointed on the outside. But one thing, and this is the main idea, when he says Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yisrael Glili is like the student Rabbi Yeshia. Rabbi Yeshia is saying, like Rabbi Yisrael Glili, like we said, that the Midas Hayavish were sanctified. They were just not the same as those of the Klei Mizbeach, of the Klei Halach, which were anointed also on the outside, but it was anointed on the inside, and therefore it is sanctified, and therefore it would sanctify, like Rabbi Yisrael Glili says, the lechem upon them, which is that same idea, and therefore we see Rabbi Yechanan saying, like his idea over here, it's Rabbi Yisrael Glili who says that the Midas Yavish are Niskadish, were sanctified. Now, Rabbi Yehudah, he disagrees with Rabbi Yisrael. He says, no, Midas Halach Nimshachu Mebefnim, the vessels for liquids were actually only anointed on the inside. The ein nimshachum, because they were not even anointed on the outside. And midas yavish, which everyone's agreeing is on a lower level, loy nimshachu kalikar, were not actually anointed at all. And says Rabbi Yehonas in Tedelach, you should know that they were not anointed. Sharein me ein mekachis, because they do not sanctify what's put inside of them until after they're baked. Why? Because actually the oven is what sanctifies it, because actually it was an oven in the courtyard. But beforehand, it does not become sanctified, this isarin of flour that's measured inside this isarin. How does Rabbi Yehonas know this? Because the pasuk says in Yikra, and this is obviously what he contends with Rabbi Yehoshua, because Rabbi Yehoshua says it is sanctified, which is like Rabbi Yisrael Glili. Rabbi Yehonas disagrees. He says, the pasuk says, Yikra mimeshav eseichem teviyu lechem tznufa. From your dwelling places, you should bring the elevated bread, Shtayim shnei esrayim, two of them, which are two esrayim, two tenths of an eifa. This is referring to the shtei halechem. Seilas tiyana, they should be from fine flour. Chametz tiyafeni, you should bake them chametz stick, which is one of the two exceptions that are made chametz. Bikrum lashem, but they're from the first grain to Hashem. Now, says Rabbi Yehonasan, Eimasai hein lashem, when are they for Hashem? When are they sanctified? Well, what does the pasuk say right before the words lashem? It says, chametz teyafena, which is la'achar shenefu, after they were baked. So you see that only when they're baked is when they become sanctified, but they're not sanctified when they were ready in the Yisarin, because the Klei the Midas HaYavish are not anointed nowhere, and therefore they don't sanctify. Now, contrary to Yeshua, he expounds, like Rashi says, that no, when it says Bikurim Lashem, is actually going on before it's baked, although the words say afterwards, but it's going even before, and therefore he could still stay with his opinion, which is like Rabbi Yisrael Glulu, the way Rabbi Yechanan says, is that the Midas HaYavish are Mekadosh because they were anointed inside, albeit not on the outside. Now, the Gemara's B'mayka Miflagi, regarding what are they disagreeing about in their interpretation about what was sanctified both in the Klei Halach, and if and what was sanctified on the Midas HaYavish. Says the Gemara, it's in one word. The pasuk that we brought before, which says "Vayimshachem mikadosh oisam," so it's in the word "ba'oisam." Now, because the word "oisam" sounds like we're talking about the inside of the vessel, that what was sanctified, the essential thing. "Vayimshachem mikadosh oisam," "oisam" meaning inside the vessel. Now, but what does that mean? So, Rabbi Yeshayahu, he held "oisam" when it says "them." What are we excluding? The outside. It's excluding the dry utensils that its outside was not anointed, but the inside was, and additionally the Klei Halach was inside and outside. But he held that no, midas yavish chaylu. No, the dry utensils, they were mundane, they weren't sanctified at all. We wouldn't need a pasuk to exclude that their outside was not anointed. What are we excluding is actually the vessels for liquids, which are sanctified. That is what we're saying, that only Aysam, only its inside was anointed, but its outside was not anointed, and the Midas HaYavish, like we said, was not anointed at all. Now, so therefore we have shown that Rabbi Yechanan's reattribution is the same idea that we had said, that he says elsewhere, that it's Rabbi Yisrael Glili who says that Midas HaYavish was Niskadish, and therefore, he's the one that says that what do we include in the prohibition of chametz? It's the lechem apanim, because Rabbi Kiva can't say that, and rather he's what's including the mechas nesach. Now, the Gemara asks on this other statement that he had said, which showed that he's going along his opinion, that he said Rabbi Yisrael Glili and Rabbi Yisrael say the same idea. So on that, as the Gemara, le manami. Why doesn't Rabbi Yechanan also say the other side of that? Rabbi Kiva, ve'echem mitamid Rabbi Shmuel, amr dove'echad, uman Rabbi Einson, that they both say the same idea too. That they both say that Midas Yavish was not Niskadish. Why only say the two that say it was Niskadish, say the two that say it wasn't Niskadish? So the Gemara, no, Mishum Delei Shava, because Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yenison are not the same, but Midas Lach, Lahadadi. They don't agree, yeah, they both agree that Yavish is not Niskadish, but they don't agree exactly how to qualify the measuring utensils of liquids. Because Rabbi Yenison says, as we quoted before, by Midas Lach, only the inside was anointed, not the outside. In contrast, Rabbi Kiva holds both the inside and the outside were sanctified, as the Gemara says later on the Dav Tzadi Amid Aleph. Now, the Gemara asks, regarding what forced us to switch around the attributions. We had said, how could Rabbi Kiva say we're including the Issa Chametz on the Shtei HaLechem, on the Lechem Apanim? The Lechem Apanim was something that was made in the Midas Yavish. Midas Yavish? Rabbi Kiva doesn't hold Midas Yavish in the Skadish. So how exactly could it ever become chametzik in a sanctified situation as a mincha to make a prohibition? So therefore we have to switch around the attributions. On that asked Amalei Rav Papa Abaye, what was the question? And we alluded to this question earlier on, but Vayikah Bisa, by the Lechem Apanim, there was this Bisa that we mentioned before, which is a vessel that was a Kli Sharis, that they would knead the flour in. Delachu, that's a vessel that's used for liquids, and when one is kneading, it's not just dry solids, you have to have that bisa, that sanctifies the lechem apanim before it's put on the shulchan. So what it means, Rabbi Kiva could agree, even though it's the midas hayavish doesn't sanctify it, but the midas halach of the bisa would sanctify it, so therefore it does make sense that there's a prohibition on the lechem apanim not to make a chametzik. So why can't we keep the opinions as we originally had them? So Amalai, so Abaye said to Rapapa, no, because kugan shalosh agabe ketavia. We could be talking about where it was needed on a piece of leather, and which is not called a kli sharis, and therefore it is not going to be necessarily a situation of making a chametz stick. On this answer, the Gemara says, ihach, if that's the case, then the kamalei Rabbi Yenison, this that we quoted before in the previous price, Rabbi Yenison said to Rabbi Yeshia, teidelach, he says, you know, you should know, like I'm saying, that the mitzvah yavish were not in the Scottish at all, because I'll prove it to you. Shahari in the Mekadeshes, because it doesn't sanctify the flour that's put in it. On that, as the Gemara, but based on what you're saying, Lemele, Lidribyeshia, tell to Rabbi Yenison that, what do you mean? The reason why it's actually not sanctified until the baking is going to kaila bisar in the chayil, is because it could be talking about a situation where it was measured in a measuring of midas yavish that was mundane, that was not sanctified. Just like you're changing it regarding the kneading, you're saying that the kneading, oh, could be it wasn't done in the bisa, could be done in something mundane, and therefore not necessarily going to be sanctified. So then, why don't Rabbi Yeshua say the same thing to Rabbi Yenison? Say, oh, it's not sanctified. No, it's not sanctified. It's not sanctified because it's only sanctified in a situation when it's in the oven, when, let's say, it wasn't measured in the Isarin. But I could tell you that maybe regular Isarin would sanctify. Based on what you're saying, let him answer that to Rabbi Yenison's proof. Well, that's his Gemara. Hachi Hashta, can you compare the two? Bishlam Abisam. Regarding this, that we gave, that Abai gave the answer to our Papa, regarding the Lechem Aponim, that you don't necessarily go ahead and knead it in the Bisa, that it's sanctified beforehand. Now, that's why we have to switch around the opinion of Bekiva. Like Kasar Vachaman do the Levit Bisa Lamelishbe. The Torah doesn't tell you by the Lechem Aponim that you have to go ahead and knead it in this Bisa. So, Kilash Lagabi Katavliya. So, when we explain that it can be talking about when it was kneaded on top of this piece of leather, less lamba, that doesn't bother us. It makes sense that that's why it's not going to be sanctified, and therefore we had a problem. Midas Yavish is not sanctifying, nothing is sanctifying according to Rabbi Kiva until it gets onto the Shulchan. What's the prohibition of Chametz? And therefore we have to switch it around. But Eli Isarin, but regarding the question that you're asking right now, this, the measuring of the Isarin, it says in the Torah by the Shteha Lechem that it has to be Isarin Silas. Now, Kivan Dam Rachmana, since the Torah says that Ovid Isarin Vikailaba, that you have to make an Isarin a measuring tool and you have to measure it, so you think Shavik Isarin the Kodesh, we're going to leave, according to your opinion, Rabbi Yeshua, that the Isarin is sanctified, and you're going to explain my proof that even though I'm showing you it's not sanctified until it's baked, oh, Vikail be Isarin the Chal, and that we measured it in a mundane Isarin, how could you say the Torah says you have to measure it? Of course it's going to be in a sanctified one. And for the fact that it's not sanctified, even though it's that of Kodesh, obviously it's like Sabirinus, and like my proof that, because it doesn't get sanctified, because it's Midas Yavish, and only happens later on when it gets baked, and there is not a difficulty on what Abai is saying, you can't prove why Rabbi Yeshua didn't answer over there, because there obviously you have to do it in the Kodesh, in the Kodeshim Isarin. Contrast here by the Bisa, not necessarily, and therefore, we had the question according to Rabbi Kiva, who said it's going to be sanctified to become Chametz, saying that we have to switch around the opinions. Continuing on this topic regarding the Shteha Lechem and the Lechem Aponim, says the Gemara, turn upon the Braisa. Minayin lamala mebosar chatas. From where do we know if someone brings up to the Mizbeach, he sacrifices from the meat of a carbon chatas, which this is usually eaten by the Kanim, or mebosar ashram, from the meat of a carbon ashram, or mebosar kachay kachram, or from the meat of a higher level sanctity carbon, what that refers to is, what's usually meat of a carbon that's not usually burnt, meaning that's usually eaten, that we didn't mention yet. The oil is always burnt. Chatas Asher we mentioned. It refers to the Zivchish al Mitzibr, which are the Kivsi Atzeres, the lambs that are brought in Shavuos, although generally a Shlam is Kachem Kalam, there they're Kachem Kachem. Or Mekachem Kalma from the meat of a lower level Kachem, Ubi Meister Omer from the leftover of the carbon Omer on the second day of Pesach, which there's leftovers from the Kemitza. The Kemitza is burnt in the Mizbeach, but the leftover is supposed to be eaten. In this case, they actually went and they burnt it on the Mizbeach. Ubi Meister Shteha Lechem from the leftovers of the Shteha Lechem, Malachim upon them, or from the 12 showbreads, or from the leftovers of regular menaches. From where do we know that if one burns these shirayim, which are supposed to be eaten, or from the whatever the mincha is that they're supposed to be eaten, or from these meats, and instead someone burns on the mizbeach, shuba loisa, say that he's violated negative prohibition in the Torah? Tamalema says the Braisa, as it teaches in Pasim Yikra, says ki chol sar v'chol devash, because anything that's leaven or anything that's honey, leisik tir mimen ish l'Hashem, you're not allowed to burn a fire offering for Hashem on the mizbeach. Now, although that's the simple translation of the pasuk, one could also read it that there's loy sektiru on something that's mimenu ish l'Hashem. What does that mean? Kol shu mimenu li'ishim, anything that had it from it already put on the fires in the mizbeach, meaning mimenu ish l'Hashem, whatever had part of it put onto the altar. Now, when you have meat from a carbon, you already put on the mizbeach, because that's only when it becomes permitted for the mekam to eat, the chaylim and the kalayas, those are the imurim that are already burnt on mizbeach. By menachas, you already have the kaimitz that was put on the mizbeach. By the shteh lechem, you already have the fats of the kivsi atzeres that come with it, and which is considered like it, which was put on the mizbeach. And by the lechem upon them, you have the bezich levayim already put on the mizbeach. So that's what the pasuk is saying. Harehu bibal taktira. That's what Loisek Tira is saying, that you're not allowed to burn those things which already had from it put on as onto the fires of Hashem. Those other things have that Loisa say of burning on the Mizbeach. Now the Gemara asks on the Braisa, Do the two breads that are brought in Shavuos and the lechem aponim that come every single Shabbos have from it parts that are put onto the fires to say that it's leftovers and that you have a prohibition of burning it on the fires of Mizbeach? But Ratan, you learn the Brayse that says, Yatzur shtei lechem b'lechem aponim, from the halacha of Hagasha, which is to bring near to the corner of the Mizbeach, as the Gemara says later in the Samech Amud Aleph. Why is there no halacha of Hagasha by them? Shein mehen le'ishim, because they're different than other menachas, because none of these menachas are at all put onto the fires. So how does the Brayse include in the list of things that had part of it put on the fire to say that its leftovers are in a prohibition of burning it on the fires of the Mizbeach? Some Rav Sheshes, he says, "Ein megufay leishim." You're right. No part of the actual mincha of the shtei alechem and lechem upon him is burnt on the fires of the mizbeach, and that's why regarding the halacha of hagasha bringing near to the kohen mizbeach, it's not similar to other menachas which have from themselves that are put into the fires, and that's why hagasha does not apply to the shtei alechem and lechem upon him. But regarding the iser of burning as leftovers on the mizbeach, that you do count the kvasim and the bezichim, which permit them as part of that carbon to say that once those other parts are burnt on Mizbeach, that doing the leftovers, including the shtei alechem and lechem upon them, would also have this isser of burning on the Mizbeach in this isser of Baal Tektirah.